This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. In the 1960s, when the pitched battles over desegregation were spilling into the streets in cities all across America, a quiet social experiment was taking place in a well-heeled suburb just outside Cleveland. The carefully choreographed and controversial struggle to bring integration to Shaker Heights, Ohio, is the subject of a documentary that airs on ABC television this evening. When pioneering black families began moving to the all-white suburb of Shaker Heights in the early 1960s, neighboring white families rushed to sell their homes. But a small group of black and white parents came up with a bold strategy to achieve racial balance. They decided to recruit white families and restrict more blacks from moving in.
When we first started out looking for white families to live in the community, there were many of us, Negro and white, who had serious questions about this. Sort of, there were mixed feelings about it because actually, if you're honest, you know that this too is discriminatory.
That's Beverly Mason. Her son is Paul Mason. He's now a senior vice president of ABC News and the executive producer of the ABC documentary called The Reunion. It reunites the children whose parents led the battle to integrate Shaker Heights in one of its local elementary schools called Ludlow. Paul Mason says a high school reunion sparked the idea for the project.
About 10 years ago, my wife and I went to a high school reunion, and the group of us who went to elementary school together all came together to take a photograph. And there was so much wonderful camaraderie among us, black and white. And my wife looked at me afterwards and said, "You don't understand what you have here. This is something very, very different." And I started to think about it, and I wrote a proposal. And it took about 10 years for it to work its way onto the air.
Paul, tell me about the Shaker Heights that you remember from your youth.
It was a brilliant mosaic. There was tremendous diversity, so much so, and it seemed very second nature. We really didn't think that much about it. We didn't think it was different or particularly exceptional. It just was how we lived.
This was in the early 1960s, and this social experiment called desegregation was in its infancy all across the country. But in most cases, black students were bused across town or to other neighborhoods where they attended school with white students and then they retreated to their own communities. What was different in Shaker Heights is that you walked down the street to school and then walked home and played in the afternoon and on the weekends with the same students that you attended class with.
That's right. We walked to school, we walked home for lunch, we walked back to school after lunch, we walked home and changed our clothes and walked back to the playground and played touch football, you know, with all the same kids. There was never a bus, no one got on a bus, and it all happened in a very, very organic kind of a way.
What you're describing sounds very much like an oasis, a cocoon of sorts, but things were very different when students left Ludlow and headed to junior high. It was a very difficult period for many of the students, and we see that in the documentary as they talk about this. There's one portion in particular where Debbie Sanborn and Jocelyn Brown describe that period. Why don't we listen to that?
My first experience with racism was in junior high. All my friends were black. Mm-hmm. Every one of them. And then one of the kids came up to me and told me that they didn't want me to hang with them. And I went home and I just bawled my eyes out and my mom was so upset.
Black power was kicking in. Having afros was in. You know, being very, very conscious. You could go to Denise's house, you could see kente cloth. But we would see each other and they would be with their group and we would kind of go like this. Because we still had a love there, but we were on different paths, exploring different avenues, and getting to know a side of ourselves that was preparing us for a world out there, because we're coming out of the cocoon.
Exactly.
Ludlow was a cocoon.
There clearly is, you know, a little dissonance between this wonderful philosophy that our parents brought, this idealism that we can make this thing happen, and then the on-the-ground reality of junior high school, teenage years, hormones, and the cross currents of nonviolent revolution and black power. This was a very difficult time, and it was difficult to resolve all of this, and difficult to think that 12 and 13 year olds would be able to process this in a way that worked.
The students who left Ludlow when they entered junior high also entered a world where they sort of dealt with race on a different plane and in many ways entered a world of lowered or unequal expectations. One of the students talks about this. Let's listen.
We all studied together.
We all read together, did our homework together. But when the white girls handed in their papers, they used to always get A's on their papers. And when we handed in our papers, we used to always get B's or B minuses on our papers. So what we did, one time, we wrote our papers and we switched and handed them in under the other's name. And sure enough, came back, the white girls got A's on the papers we had written, and we got the B minuses on the papers that they had written.
So I guess a clear example of how you can place students of different races in the same building, but that doesn't always mean that they have the same opportunities.
There was a teacher who clearly was sending a message that she expected black students to do worse, and she was going to do what she could to actually implement what her expectation was.
How does it compare with the life you lead now? Do you find yourself searching for the same thing that you had in childhood, and is it easy or is it difficult to attain?
It's much, much more difficult to find something like this, but I won't say it's impossible. But I think that there are fewer communities that have the courage and the foresight that our parents did some 40 years ago. I know I've moved several times since my daughter became of school age, and each time I've moved, I've tried to find an experience like the one that I had, and each time I've been a little bit disappointed. And my daughter is in a private school now, and I pay a tuition in order that she can go to a school that has outstanding education and the same diversity that I had in my childhood growing up.
Paul, thanks for talking to us.
My pleasure.
Paul Mason is the executive producer of the documentary The Reunion. It airs on ABC tonight.